All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are talking about the Falcons re-signing Justin Hardy, as well as sort of what else the Falcons are going to do in free agency and maybe what their draft plans are based off of that.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com, on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, the host of Locked On Falcons, this illustrious daily Falcons podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the Falcons bringing back Justin Hardy on a one-year deal. We'll talk about sort of if this is sort of the last move of free agency, how much is left for the Falcons to do in free agency, and then sort of pivot a little bit and look ahead to the draft and maybe if they stand pat in free agency, what does that mean for the draft, possible trade-up talk, that sort of thing. Those are going to be the topics on today's episode. So let's jump right in, talk about Justin Hardy. The Falcons re-signed him to a one-year deal. No word on sort of how much they're paying him yet as I'm recording this. We'll probably find out over the weekend. But, you know, I like this move. You guys, longtime listeners of this podcast, know I've been a strong supporter of Justin Hardy. I feel like he's gotten short shrift here in Atlanta, the short end of the stick, whatever that phrase is, in large part due to the presence of Mohamed Sanu, since they fill a similar niche in this roster. I'm curious sort of to see what the Falcons envision his current role moving forward in 2019 with this one-year contract to return. I imagine, you know, the Falcons offered him, you know, whatever that modest contract he wound up signing. He sort of spent, you know, the last week or so sort of shopping himself around and didn't really get better offers and wound up accepting the Falcons deal to return on a one-year deal, knowing that this was probably the best situation for him given his familiarity with the personnel and the offense and all these sort of things and the coaching staff. So I'm curious to sort of see what the Falcons do with Justin Hardy this year. Last year, you know, he served as sort of the backup to the backup behind Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley as the third string Z wide receiver, as the fourth string Y or slot wide receiver, since Julio Jones also plays, you know, gets considerable snaps in the slot as well. I'm wondering if they're going to maybe move Justin Hardy to the X receiver position to be the backup to Julio, where he'll compete with Russell Gage, who's currently the top backup. It was Marvin Hall and Russell Gage that would get those snaps at X whenever Julio was, you know, needed a breather the last couple of years. You know, Hardy doesn't really fit that role, you know, that sort of split in role. But at the same time, that is sort of a weakness right now, at least when you look at the Falcons depth chart. They have plenty of quality slots. They have plenty of quality Z wide receivers with Sanu, Ridley, and Hardy. And arguably you can make a case, or at least I would make a case, that probably Russell Gage is better suited for that position than his current role as the X. But, you know, we'll see if the Falcons change things up and whether this opens the door to the Falcons maybe drafting an X wide receiver to push Gage, or are they content with Russell Gage sort of in that fourth, fifth wide receiver role backing up Julio Jones. I'm also sort of curious to see if the Falcons expand Justin Hardy's usage on special teams, which he used to have a significant role. He used to be one of the team's better cover guys on kickoffs and punts. He was a gunner on punts for, you know, at least 2016, I think for a large portion of 2015, if I recall correctly. They pulled him off of that midway through the 2017 season. He was pretty much replaced by Marvin Hall for the rest of the season. And then when the Falcons added Gage and Justin Bethel last year, you know, he didn't really get another opportunity to play on special teams other than whenever, you know, someone needed a breather here or there, or when they were on, I think maybe he was on the hands team or whatever. And so I do wonder now, with Bethel going to Baltimore, with Hall in Chicago, there is an opening on that gunner spot. And for those of you guys that don't know what the gunner is, when you on the punt team, the two guys that line up wide, that line up basically in the wide receiver positions, their job is to basically get downfield as fast as possible. And generally their job is to basically force the fair catch. Or if the returner decides to field the ball and then return it, their job is to try to make the initial tackle. Typically they don't do it because, as I've explained before on the podcast, and as many of you know, as a punt returner, your job, your first job is to catch the football, and your second job is to make the first guy miss. And typically that's one of the gunners. And then, you know, the third thing that you do as a punt returner is try to get as many yards after that point as possible. So gunners don't typically get a lot of tackles, but they do sort of are, you know, sort of the tip of the spear, I guess you could say, as far as your punt coverage goes. And they're very, have a very important job. If you have bad gunners, you're going to have a bad punt team. And so if you have good gunners, you know, and I think Justin Hardy was really good in that role. You know, he's no Antoine Smith, but nobody is. But I think he was really good in that role. And so I wonder if he'll get another opportunity to sort of compete there in 2019, given that there's a hole there with the departure of Bethel and Hall. You know, Kenyon Barner played as a gunner at the end of the season with Carolina. So I imagine right now, looking at the roster, you know, you have Gage entrenched at one spot. I imagine Hardy and Barner would, if the season started tomorrow, one of those two guys would be the other gunner opposite him. I imagine the Falcons potentially will, you know, use a draft pick, a high pick on a cornerback this April in the draft. And that guy would potentially be the potential front runner to win that gunner spot, or at least compete with guys like Hardy and Barner for that role moving forward. So I'll be curious to see if the Falcons expand Hardy's role or if they're sort of going to use him the same way that they used him last year, which wasn't very often, which is, you know, basically when Sanu needs a breather or when Ridley needs a breather, you come in. A lot of times it was for using his blocking skills, and then he barely got used on special teams other than being a punt returner, which, as I've argued a number of times on this podcast, I feel like the Falcons let him do as a consolation prize because they didn't really have any other role for him, given the presence of Ridley sort of leapfrogging him in the wide receiver hierarchy. And then again, with Gage and Bethel sort of leapfrogging his value on coverage units. And so they basically like, well, there's really nothing else that we need you for, Justin Hardy, other than your run blocking skills, which, you know, is whatever. I mean, like, he's a great blocker. I think he's the best blocker on the team. Wide receiver. I don't think he's better than Alex Mack. But, you know, I think he's the best blocking wide receiver on the team. But, like, you know, that only goes so much, you know, as far as value goes. So that's one of the reasons why I think the Falcons continue to have him on punt returns last year. We'll see sort of what Ben Kotecha does as the new special teams coordinator and how he switches things up and what roles he sees various players in, if he does, you know, wholesale changes to that unit. So I'm happy to see Justin Hardy come back. I hope he gets more opportunities this year, particularly on offense. And if not on offense, then hopefully on special teams where he's a very good player in my eyes. So that leads us to sort of looking at whether or not, you know, this might be one of the last moves of the offseason, or should I say free agency for the Falcons. And we'll take a deeper look into that in just a moment. But I do want to let you guys know about the new podcasting app, Himalaya, where you can find this podcast or any Locked On podcast. Himalaya is a new addition to the ever-expanding podcast world, where you can personally curate your playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Falcons, your team every day. All right, so are the Falcons done in free agency? Possibly, maybe. You go back and you look at the history of sort of the timeline of this team in the Dan Quinn era and sort of looking, you know, today as you guys are listening on this Friday, this is the 10th day of free agency, I believe. You know, since the free agency officially begins, not counting the legal tampering period. And, you know, you look at over the last four off seasons, the players that the Falcons, the free agents that the Falcons have signed, new free agents, I should say, that the Falcons have signed, you know, at this point and beyond. In 2015, on day 10, they added both Jacob Tammy and Tony Moyaki. In 2016, on day 13, they added Courtney Upshaw. In 2017, on day 13, they added Derek Coleman and Hugh Thornton. In 2018, on day 11, they added Justin Bethel. So they have been active sort of, you know, in between day 10 and the end of the 2 weeks after, between days 10 and 13 in the previous years. So I think there's certainly a possibility, there's certainly a pattern that could be possible, that the Falcons could bring in some, you know, new players over the next couple of days, over this weekend, early next week as well. But it does seem like, you know, there isn't a rich history that, you know, basically the timeline suggests that if the Falcons don't sign a new person by Monday morning, or let's say Tuesday, you know, since they tend to make a lot of roster moves on Tuesdays, that's probably it. So we'll have to sort of see what the Falcons do moving forward. You know, I feel like looking at that list of players outside of obviously Jacob Tammy, you had a bunch of role players. You know, Derek Coleman was technically a starter, but, you know, at that point in time, the Falcons were really sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel for fullbacks and looking at replacement level players. Courtney Upshaw is a rotational piece. He was like the, what, 9th, 10th guy in our rotation. Tony Moyaki was a backup blocking tight end. Hugh Thornton was supposed to sort of push, be the insurance that would push Wes Schweitzer. He wound up retiring basically a month after we drafted or after we signed him. And Justin Bethel was a special teams guy that added some depth at cornerback. So I feel like sort of if the Falcons are going to address, you know, any holes currently on the roster in free agency, they're going to be looking primarily at role players. You know, and I feel like, you know, any hope that the Falcons are going to make any sort of splash moves from here on out, I think is probably, you know, I won't say naive, but I'll say like not particularly realistic is what I'll say. So if me, if I'm guessing sort of if they do make a move over the next couple of days, I would imagine it would most likely be someone to bolster the rotation along the defensive line. You know, typically the Falcons have kept 9 or 10 defensive line as part of their rotation. You look at the current roster, there's really only 6 guys that you could feel reasonably confident are, you know, I wouldn't say locks to make the roster, but certainly, you know, most of them are locks. But, you know, or at least guys that you can count on being regular contributors. You have Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley, Stephen Means, Grady Jarrett, Jack Crawford, and Deidre Sinnott. The 7th guy on that list would probably be Mike Bennett, the D-tackle. You know, maybe the 8th guy would be Justin Zimmer, but I don't think the Falcons are really looking at either one of those guys and sort of counting on them. They're like, oh, yeah, that guy is definitely going to be part of our rotation. They can certainly be brought in camp and compete for a spot, but I don't think the Falcons are penciling them in or pinning them in for a roster spot moving forward. So with only 6 guys left, that means there's 3 to 4 potential roster spots available. And are the Falcons going to draft 3 to 4 guys? I don't think so. Along the defensive line, I think they could certainly. 3, I think, is possible in the draft. I think 2 is more likely. Going into the draft needing basically 3 bodies on the defensive line, I don't think is probably healthy. So I could imagine the Falcons going out there and signing someone like a Caron Reed or a Rodney Gunter or Cassius Marsh. In an ideal world, they would go out there and get Adrian Claiborne and bring him back. We'll sort of have to see. That, to me, is probably the splashiest move I can realistically expect from here on out, you know, crossing my fingers that they wind up doing that. So I basically think, you know, I'm expecting the Falcons to maybe add another rotation player, you know, along the defensive line, whether that's an end or D tackle. I'm not expecting, you know, I don't think you should be holding out hope that they're going to sign Ziggy Ansah is basically what I'm sitting here saying. I'm hoping, you know, Claiborne is probably the splashiest move that they'll make. And again, I'm hoping that they do that, but I'm not necessarily expecting it. So that being said, I do want to talk a little bit about sort of what that means for the draft, because I know there's a lot of people that have been pushing, given the Falcons free agent moves, sort of shoring up some depth pieces, shoring up some you know, problem areas along the roster. This is suggesting to a lot of people that the Falcons are positioning themselves to trade up now, particularly now that, you know, we thought wide receiver was a position along with tight end that they would potentially address in the draft. And now with the addition, the re-signing of Justin Hardy, that may potentially take wide receiver off the board. And so that's pushing the idea that the Falcons might trade up. And we'll take a deeper look at that in a moment. But I do want to let you guys know that you guys can check out 2 podcasts related to the draft on the Locked On Podcast Network. They are the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast with hosts John Ledger and Trevor Sikkema. The other one is the Draft Dudes Podcast with hosts Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. Find them both wherever you get your Locked On podcasts, including the new Himalaya app, as well as you can find both of those shows and the written content from those guys, as well as video content at thedraftnetwork.com. Your team every day. So again, you know, looking at the possibility of the Falcons trading up, I think it's possible. I don't think it's necessarily likely, and we'll get back to that. But, you know, looking at sort of the holes currently on the Falcons roster, you're looking primarily at that defensive line group as being a little thin at this point in time. And so, again, as I said, I feel like it's definitely possible that the Falcons could draft three guys. But I feel like knowing the Falcons' MO, knowing the Falcons the way that they typically operate, that they'll probably want to sign at least one veteran between now and the draft just to give them some insurance, give them some flexibility that they don't have to come out of this draft with three new defensive linemen. Nor do I think the Falcons want to go into the post-draft season like they did last year and then basically have to scrape the bottom of the barrel and get a guy like Terrell McClain, who was a decent signing, but he's not really a guy that was going to move the needle for them as far as their rotation goes. And waiting till May to make such moves is obviously not a great plan. You want to get all those issues solved by draft day. So I feel like the Falcons, you know, could trade up. You know, I feel like that's something that people have been speculating about. I understand why. I feel like it's possible. Again, I don't think it's likely because, again, I look at the holes currently on this team, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. They have mostly shored up most of their major issues on the offensive side of the ball. You know, with the addition of Hardy, now I don't think that they have to draft a wide receiver, although I still think they probably will draft one. You know, the additions of the two tight ends with Paulson and Stocker, they don't have to draft a tight end. As I've said a number of times, I don't feel like running back is a need, particularly now with the addition of Barner. You know, and I think, you know, on the offensive line, you still need an offensive tackle. To me, there's no world where we're going into training camp with Ty Sambrello and Matt Gano being our only options opposite, you know, Jake Matthews. You know, that's just, I do not want to live in that reality where that's the case. So I think tackle is definitely on the table. I think center is also potentially on the table as well in the draft, even though it seems likely at this point in time that either Fusco or Schweitzer could potentially, you know, in a pinch, be that sort of backup center with Brown and Carpenter solidifying the starting guard spots if push came to shove. But I do think the Falcons would like to draft a center, but they don't necessarily need to. And I think that's really what the Falcons have done on the offensive side of the ball, is that they've been able to acquire players now that they don't need to draft anybody outside of the offensive tackle position. But they do have some holes on the defensive line. They need to get some bodies, particularly on the defensive line. I think you look at the linebacker position, they don't really have a backup to Devondre Campbell because, again, the Falcons refuse to play Vic Beasley there. Right now, if the season started tomorrow, Bruce Carter would be the top backup at the same linebacker spot. I think given the expectation that Devondre Campbell is potentially going to leave in free agency after this season, I think having a body there, adding a body there that can give you some insurance there, not necessarily a guy that you're going to draft in with a high pick and be like, oh, that guy's our long-term starter there. But as we've seen in previous years, really until Campbell took over that Sam linebacker spot 2 years ago, the Falcons kind of were basically replacement-level players there. And I feel like given that expectation, you can go out there and get a guy in round five or round six that can be a similar player. You're looking for like the equivalent of a Foye Olakun, but he just plays strong side linebacker. And I feel like the Falcons could target that this April. You definitely need to draft some cornerback depth. You're awfully thin there. You arguably we can make the case you can draft two corners just because of how thin the team is. If Casey is going to be a full-time cornerback this year, playing that nickel slot role, then you need another safety because, you know, you have two starting safeties coming back from injury. Sherrod Neesman's fine. Now, you know, again, maybe the Falcons go out there and re-sign a guy like Jordan Richards over the next couple of days to fill one of those safety spots. Again, maybe they sign a defensive lineman. But I think because the Falcons have enough holes on the defensive side of the ball, that it doesn't necessarily automatically mean, okay, the Falcons have positioned themselves to definitely trade up. I think they've always been a possible trade-up possibility all along, but I don't think anything they've done really in free agency so far has really sort of pushed them in that direction. So as I've said, I think a trade-up is possible. I think it's unlikely. I think mostly the unlikeliness of it is due to the fact that in the four drafts under Dan Quinn, they've only traded up once. And in 11 years under Thomas Dimitroff, they've only traded up four times. So you know, you do the math on that, they're two times as likely to stay put as they are to trade up. They're three, you know, under Dan Quinn, they're three times as likely to stay put as they are to trade up. So that's why I don't think it's likely. But again, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. You know, I think one of the reasons why I believe the Falcons are probably going to stay put is because I look at their sort of first round possibilities as, you know, offensive tackle, defensive end, or defensive tackle with that first round pick. And I kind of think they're going to take the best player available at that spot. You know, I know many of you guys sort of have your heart set on one of those three spots or two out of those three spots, sort of like, I want this edge, or I want this D tackle, or I want this offensive lineman. For me, at least, again, it's just the best player available. I don't have a preference. If you're asking me, like, which one would you pick? Like, I don't care. That's, you know, that's part of my thing when people ask me, like, you know, do you think D-tack or D-end is more important? Like, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I can get pressure on the quarterback, that's all that matters to me. If you do it from the interior, you do it from the edge, it means nothing to me. They're the same position in my eyes. It's all about getting pressure. You know, the offensive tackle position, again, I think it's a valuable position due to, you know, the presence of these elite pass rushers that, you know, will rush from the left side of the defense, which means they'll go up against the right tackle. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, even though I have made claims like such as this before, but I don't sit here and be like, well, they have to get a right tackle because it's more valuable than defensive end or defensive tackle. It depends on the player for me, at least, is basically what I'm sitting here saying. So, you know, I've gone through and highlighted eight prospects that I think are going to be the likeliest players that I feel like the Falcons fit sort of what the Falcons typically look for in their players and sort of fit the value that I think the Falcons will potentially target with that 14th overall pick. And I feel one of the reasons why I feel like it's unlikely that they'll trade up and why they'll stay put at that 14th pick, because I feel reasonably confident that at least three or four of these eight guys that I'm about to rattle off again to recap are going to be there at pick 14. And on the offensive line, those are Jonah Williams, Cody Ford, Dalton Reisner, and Garrett Bradbury. The edge rushers are Brian Burns and Cleveland Farrell. The defensive tackles, Christian Wilkins, and the linebacker is Devin Bush. And I feel like those eight guys are the likely, you know, that they seem very Falcon-y to me. Now, how the Falcons grade and rate those players, you know, if Thomas Dimitroff or Scott Pioli or Dan Quinn was listening to this podcast right now, which I know they do, you know, they might be like, ha, you don't know anything, Aaron. We don't like Cleveland Farrell. We don't like Jonah Williams or whatever the case may be. That may be the case. Again, you know, I'm hedging my bets. I'm sort of expanding my horizon, so to speak, with narrowing it. I use air quotes because eight guys isn't a narrow list, but it seems like those are eight guys that seem like they fit sort of what the Falcons are looking for at those positions. So, you know, again, I'm not here to kill your dreams of the Falcons trading up, but I know many of you guys, you know, or have your heart set on Ed Oliver. And again, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I just feel like it's, you know, again, you know, I'm a pessimist or whatever you want to call me, but it's just hard for me to fathom a world where that's possible. It's equally hard for me to fathom a world where Ty Sambrillo is the undisputed starter at right tackle. Just like it's hard for me to fathom a world where the Falcons land Ed Oliver, where he fall, or at least, again, to me, the most likely scenario for a trade-up is that they trade up like 3 to 5 spots and probably to get an edge or a D-tackle. I don't feel like they're going to trade up for an offensive lineman. That's just not a position that you just trade up for unless you're like a team like Houston, who desperately need offensive linemen. I don't think the Falcons are desperate. They, you know, I'm desperate because, you know, of my feelings about Ty Sambrello, but I don't think the Falcons are desperate in that regard. So I feel like if they're going to trade up, they're going to probably trade up, you know, into that 9 to 13 range for an edge or a D tackle that they really like. And maybe that's Ed Oliver again, but I just feel like sitting here and you're going to sit there and tell me that, you know, Jacksonville, Detroit, Buffalo, Denver, and Cincinnati are all going to pass on Ed Oliver and the Falcons are going to land one of the three best players in this draft class. Like, I've been a Falcon fan too long and my pessimism runs deep, but like, I just can't believe that, you know, the NFL's weird, but I don't think it's that weird. So You know, I know a lot of people sort of look at those teams I just named. They're like, well, those teams don't need D tackles. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Buffalo's the only team out of those five I just named that has a clear need at the D tackle position. But, like, you look at Jacksonville with Campbell getting up in years, Darius getting up in years. They're both going to be on the wrong side of 30 next year. They're both going to count $40 million against their 2020 salary cap. I think the chances that both of those guys are back in Jacksonville after this season is extremely low. So getting an Ed Oliver there to plug in beside one of those, whoever they retain, or Taven Bryan, makes a lot of sense for, you know, Saxonville. Detroit needs pass rushers. You know, they already have some interior guys with Hand and whatnot, and now they added Trey Flowers. So it probably pushes Oliver off of Detroit's table. Buffalo, again, I think is a perfect fit for Ed Oliver. Denver doesn't have great interior defensive line play. And putting Ed Oliver on the same defensive line with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, like John Elway, you know, he's not the brightest man in the world, but he's got to be licking his chops over that. You got to imagine that. In Cincinnati, and then Geno Atkins is getting up there in age. They would love to get sort of his heir apparent. And, you know, they love drafting talented pass rushers, which they've been loading up over the last couple of years. So, again, I can imagine them, you know, basically snatching up Ed Oliver. So, for me, it's like, if the Falcons are going to trade up for Ed Oliver, you're going to have to move up. You got to jump ahead some of those teams. And I don't know if you're going to do that. I don't know if the Falcons are going to be willing to do that, to give up more than maybe a third and a sixth or something, a third and a fifth, to move up to get Ed Oliver or whoever the guy, whoever's the apple of their eye. So, it's definitely a possibility. I'm not going to rule it out by any means. It's way too early for me to be like, this is not going to happen for anything when it comes to the draft. There's, you know, we got five more weeks of smoke screen and information to go. You know, so I don't want to, you know, be like, this is definitely going to happen or this is definitely not going to happen. But sitting here today, I just can't imagine the NFL teams being like, none of those teams are going to pull the trigger on it. Ed Oliver is going to be chilling there, and none of those teams are going to pull the trigger on him. I can't buy it. I just can't. I'm sorry. Maybe, you know, maybe my vision is too clouded here, but I just cannot buy it whatsoever. You know, it makes no sense to me. So, you know, again, sorry to kill people's dreams. You know, if you want to believe, then believe. I just sitting here saying that, you know, if you have your heart set on being an Ed Oliver in a Falcon, I've just, you know, history has taught me to set your expectations very low and to let the Falcons not disappoint you. guess what I'm trying to say. So, you know, I think it's going to be one of those eight guys I named. We'll see who it is. I feel like Cody Ford and Brian Burns are the two likely. I feel like offensive line is the likeliest, because I just feel like unless the Falcons are going to trade up to get their guy, I feel like it's going to be an offensive lineman, and I feel like Cody Ford's going to be chilling right there for the Falcons to take. We'll see, though. We'll see. But there you have it, guys. Appreciate you guys tuning in, listening to another episode of Locked On Falcons podcast. Be sure to check out the new Himalaya app, where you can find it and any other Locked On podcasts that you like to listen to. And if you guys want to provide your feedback on any of the things I discussed on today's episode or any other topics or questions that you may have, you can send them in to Locked On Falcons on Twitter, Locked On Falcons on Facebook. The email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And yes, falcfans.com is up and running again, guys. And you can leave a comment there on falcfans.com as well. So we'll be back on Monday to talk about something. We'll try to get a guest on. I'm sure many of you are tired of hearing my voice. So that'll be something I'll work on and get somebody on to sort of add to that. All right. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.